Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church, semi-live here behind the microphones here in my office at Island Community Church, here recording the next program of our series here, our brand new series, which we've just started in the book of Revelation. God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. Tune in your dials here to where he's speaking. That is anyone, any church, anyone out there that's preaching the word of God. And that makes the word of God the central and the focal point of all that one does. That's what we do here at this church. That's what we're going to do here now. We're sitting under the authority of the word of God. We're going to let the word of God speak. Thanks for joining us here again. This is WGOD. I am Pastor Paul Esposito. I'm the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. We are located at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. I thank you for spending 30 minutes of your day of this Monday to join me. I invite you to one of our services. If you listen into this program, then other than the music, you know what to expect. For the music, we do mostly hymns, many times in a country way, or a little more modern way. We don't have an organ or a choir. But I invite you to attend one of our services. And we meet Sunday morning at 10:30. Wednesdays, we meet at 6 o'clock. This Wednesday, we will be in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. So we got three books of the Bible going on. 2 Corinthians on Wednesday nights from 6 to 7. Much more informal service. We have a roll out the dry erase board. It's open for questions. Comments. It's broadcast live on Facebook on the Island Community Church Facebook feed. That'll turn on live right at 6 o'clock. These radio podcasts are also uploaded on there, or you can subscribe to the podcast WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. You can subscribe through Spotify or through the built-in Apple app that's on your phone, a little pink app. Apple makes it. It's on every phone. It's called Podcasts. Search for this program. Then you can share that with someone else. Someone else that needs to hear. Someone else that needs to hear, like where we left off on Friday. This words by the Lord Jesus. See, that's not stuff you're going to read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. But here now, in the year 96 AD, some 60 years after he was crucified and raised up again. Now he tells the Apostle John, you see, I have got the keys to death, and I have the keys to Hades. The King James Version says, I've got the keys to hell. Though Hades is a little bit more accurate, you know what? Let's run with hell. What a great word picture that is. I've got the keys to hell. What do keys do? Well, we know what they do. They lock things, or praise God, they unlock things. And he's got the keys, and he's got the power, and he's got the authority. He's got all the exousia that he needs to be the master of the keys to lock you in until Revelation chapter 20 and the great white throne judgment. Or to unlock and let you out. Now, we know that that's already happened, at least for now, for believers, after he was crucified and was resurrected again. We read in Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 and 51, that the temple curtain was torn in two from the top down, and it said that the saints who had died earlier were raised up. And they were seen in Jerusalem. So there be more than one resurrection. That was one there. But he promises he's got the keys to death. Remember, he said, I am the resurrection. All who live and believe in me shall never die. Death is not the end for you. He's the firstborn from the dead, we read. He's got the keys to death. He destroyed death and the power of death, we read in our study here in the book of Hebrews. He destroyed the one who had the power of death. That is the devil, we read in the book of Hebrews. And he has the keys to Hades. He's got the keys to let you out, or he's got the keys to lock you in. What a thing. The charge over everyone is that God loves you. You know, it's, and that you're a sinner, and that the wages of sin is death. But overarching all that is God loves you, and he has a plan. God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. God wants you to spend eternity with him, but the problem is you're a sinner, and there is a division. There's something in the way between you and him, and that is sin. Enter Jesus Christ, who came in and was made to be sin. This is where we're at in 2 Corinthians 5, fresh in my mind here. He was made to be sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So that's the charge. Depending on what you do with the Son of God will then dictate what he's going to do with the keys, lock you in until the end of the age. Or, well, he's already unlocked the door. And once you call on the name of the Lord, when you die and leave this world, the Bible now says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So that's where we left off. That was the last program. I think I entitled that Jesus Has the Keys. Look for that podcast. You can listen to that. Here today, we're starting one of the seven churches, the first church, the church at Ephesus. Imagine sneaking into the pastor's office, and there on his desk, a letter with the return address of, well, I don't know, let's make one up. How about Gold Street in heaven? And the letter comes from the Son of God himself. So from Jesus Christ. Now, I'm a pastor. I've been the pastor here for some 12 or 13 years. Let me put myself in this position here. From Jesus Christ. Two, Pastor Paul Esposito, return address number 7, Gold Street, in heaven, from Jesus to me. Man, oh man, I'd be dying to open that letter. I can't imagine what our church secretary, Jean, would do if she went out to the mailbox and got that letter and I was off that day. A letter from number 7 Gold Street from the Son of God addressed to Pastor Paul Esposito. I tell you what, she'd be aching to get out that letter opener and open up that letter. What? Why would the Son of God send me a letter? What could possibly be in it? This is extraordinary. Having the opportunity to actually hear from the Son of God concerning a church, to hear what they're doing right, perhaps, to see or hear what they're doing wrong. Let me ask the question, have you ever looked over someone else's shoulder and took a peek at the letter that they were reading? While we're at it, have you ever opened up a letter addressed to someone else and proceeded to read that letter, perhaps from the IRS? So this letter here is postmarked from heaven, I like to say. I mean, it was written from there. Now, this note here from John MacArthur. He says, although these seven churches were actual historical churches in Asia Minor, they represent the seven types of churches that perennially exist throughout the church age. This is what I was saying in the last program. So what the Lord says to these seven churches is relevant in all time. You know, I hear that complaint all the time, especially from preterists. Now, remember, when we started on this, the different ways to interpret the book of Revelation. There's more than one way to interpret this. Some people, they're called preterists. They believe that the book of Revelation was already fulfilled and all of the Bible prophecy, like in Matthew chapter 24, that all that was already fulfilled in 70 AD. I think that's crazy. I think you're wrong because you have to spiritualize these texts in the Bible to have that work. When has that happened? Show me when the book of Revelation has already happened. Show me in history. Show me when there's been 3.5 years without rain. Show me the two witnesses. Show me that when they died, the whole world saw their dead bodies at the same time. You see, you can't show me that. Therefore, you have to spiritualize the meaning of the Bible. And that is, in my opinion, the wrong way to interpret this book. You need to interpret literal when possible. If not, understand the symbol, then you'll understand the book. Understand the symbol, and you'll understand the book. These preterists, they say, they believe that all of the book of Revelation is ancient history. All right, well, if that's true, if all of the Bible is ancient history, then how about Paul's letter to the Corinthians? Or how about Romans? Or how about Ephesians? Or how about Galatians? Or how about Hebrews? Or how about James, John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and the book of Acts? Do they apply as well? Aren't they also ancient history? Let me ask the question. What book of the Bible isn't ancient history? You get my point? All of the New Testament letters, all 27 letters, are ancient history, and they've all been written to someone else, but you can still glean stuff out of them. It's all ancient history. It's 2,000 years old. But when Paul says to you, and I quote, "This is the will of God, that you obtain from sexual immorality," unquote. You've got something to glean out of that. Yeah, it's 2,000 years old. Yeah, he wrote it to someone else. That's what all we can do here today is take these things that were written in our Bibles, and this is how we live. He's given us the instructions how to live right. Yes, they were written to someone else. Yes, some of these churches are dead and buried and gone, and they're not around anymore. But you can find yourself in any one of these seven churches here. When Paul tells the Romans they're more than conquerors through Christ, even though that was written to someone else, that applies to you. It wasn't just the members of a dead church that's gone now, that was from 2,000 years ago, that they're more than conquerors. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. If God is for you, who can be? These promises are all 2,000 years old. But that doesn't mean that these letters don't apply to you, that this is ancient history. Yes, it's ancient history, but yes, Jesus Christ is the same. We read in Hebrews 13, right? He's the same yesterday and today and forever. We're waiting for his return. They still apply, and these things haven't happened yet. We haven't seen Revelation 4 through 22 yet. These letters to the seven churches, we all can glean something out of all of these. Let's do that now. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, the loveless church. Yes, this was written to Ephesus. Yes, from 2,000 years ago. There's still instruction to this church that you and I can take home with us here and put into practice today. Let's pick it up, verse 1. "Now, to the angel of the church at Ephesus," right? All right, first of all, the word angel, it's the word angelos. It means more than just a little angel here with his little wings flying around. Angel, the Greek word angelos, can also mean messenger. I think this is talking to the messenger of the church. That would be the preacher, the pastor, the spiritual leader in each one of these churches. Because I reason, why is Jesus going to tell a man to write a letter to give it to someone that he can't see? Why give a man to give a letter to give to an angel? He's writing this letter to the heads of the churches here. The messenger of the church at Ephesus is God's representative, the Lord Jesus' spokesman, representative, the spiritual leader. Jesus has installed spiritual leaders in all of the churches. And this is who he's writing to here, the spiritual leader, the messenger of the church in Ephesus. Back again from the top. To the angel, to the messenger of the church at Ephesus, right? "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands." All right, now starting with these seven churches, he's going to include one of the attributes about himself as he addresses each church. Here, and it's the attributes from the first chapter. If there was, when you read it from his greeting in chapter 1, there's a list of attributes that describe the Son of God now. He's going to choose one of these attributes for each one of these churches. Here, it's the one, it's he who has the seven stars in his right hand. Let's go back here for a moment here to chapter 1, and let's see what this means. Because he tells us what this means. We don't have to guess. He tells us what this means. Matter of fact, you only got to go back one verse if you're following me. Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. "The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand." This is the Lord speaking. "And the seven golden lampstands." The seven stars are the angels or messengers of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Again, let me stop here for a minute. Let me give you my opinion and what I think. After 25 years of studying this book and knowing and speaking the original language, I speak Greek. I'm a Bible translator. I understand what these words mean fairly good, I would hope. Angel does not mean angel in these instances to the angel of the church at Ephesus. The Greek word, again, angelos, means messenger. And angelos is one who is sent in order to announce, teach, or perform, or explore anything, is one good definition of angelos. My lexicon reads here, "The angels of the seven churches are probably the bishops or the pastors of those churches, the delegates or messengers of the churches of God." And then it directs you to Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, and chapter 2, verse 1. Everyone with me so far? This is where we're at here. This is our understanding of this. Jesus, the Lord Jesus, is not dictating a letter for John to give to someone that he can't see. He's dictating a letter to give to the spiritual leader of these churches at the time. Why would he write a letter to give to angels and have a man deliver them? Let's read this again. "To the messenger of the church at Ephesus," right? Or how about, let's try this. "To the pastor of the church at Ephesus," right? Now, doesn't that sound better? He's given a man a letter as the Son of God to deliver to a man. The men, the pastors, the leaders of these churches here, flesh and blood, here on earth, the Church of Jesus Christ. Men are the one that are in charge, that have been put in charge and under spiritual leaders of his churches. Now, on to verse 2 here, as is customary, he's going to start with an attaboy. That is something that they're doing right. With each one of these, he's going to start first. And this is great instruction for us. He always starts first with what you're doing right. He commends the churches for what they're doing right. And then with 5 out of the 7, he gives them instructions about what they're doing wrong and how to fix it. Verse 2, "I know your works, your labor, your patience," or endurance. Remember, hupomone, endurance. "I know your works, your labor, your endurance, that you cannot bear those who are evil." Now, reading someone else's mail shocks us. Not bearing with those who are evil? That's not what we are taught, is it? We're taught to be floor mats, aren't we? But yet the Lord commends them for not putting up with evil there in their community, there in their town. He commends them for not putting up with evil. Now, reading someone else's mail shocks us. While yet this attitude that I am not going to put up with evil any longer is an attitude that the Lord Jesus commends, not condemns. He commends this church for no longer wanting to put up with evil anymore in your community. He's glad they won't put up with it. Now, yeah, this is a historical letter written 2,000 years ago, but he doesn't change. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. His attitude for them is the same for us as well. Do you put up with evil at school board meetings where you find out that the school board masters of the universe are giving puberty-stunting drugs to your children? They sure broke that trend here in Florida for this past few years ago. But even though you rising up to make a difference is commendable, remember, he's right into the church and he's right into the pastor. It's the pastor who needs to have a hard time with evil. It's up to him to keep his church pure and faithful. He's writing this to the pastor. It's up to him. It's up to the pastor to stir people up in his community. It's up to the pastor to stir people up there in the church. He's writing this to him. This is the spiritual leader. He commends them for not putting up with evil. He's God's messenger. He's writing this to them. They're the ones that got to stir people up. So let's see if there's anything else he commends them for. He says, you have tested those who said they were apostles and are not, and you found them to be liars. Okay. The Lord Jesus commends the Ephesians for testing a person who claims to be an apostle, just like people say they are today. They claim to be apostles. Well, how does one do that? How do you test a person to see if they are an apostle? Easy. That's the easiest question we're going to look at. How do you test someone who says, now remember, Jesus is writing here to the spiritual leader of the church, and he gives them an attaboy, pats them on the back, and he commends them for testing people out here on the street today or people in the church today who claim that they are apostles. He commends them for testing them and exposing them that they are not. How do you do that? Well, according to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 22, an apostle had to be an eyewitness of Jesus Christ after he was raised up from the dead. Now take it up with him. Don't take it up with me. All I know is that Jesus is going to commend me for testing people that have invaded into my territory, because I'm not the pastor of someone else's church. He's going to write his own letter to them. He'll commend you for testing people that say they're apostles. Or he'll say you're doing it wrong if you don't. To be an apostle, you had to know the color of Jesus' eyes in the flesh. You had to be an eyewitness of Jesus Christ after he was raised up from the dead. Maybe they asked the false apostles. Maybe they used that for a test, for a litmus test. All right, what color were Jesus' eyes? Is not the answer. You had to be an eyewitness. The Apostle Paul was an eyewitness. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, he says, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus? You see, he was an eyewitness. You had to be an eyewitness to Jesus Christ after he died, and you had to see him alive on the earth after he had died in order to be an apostle. And you had to be chosen by him, not by people at a camp meeting. There's no instructions anywhere in the Bible for how to choose an apostle. We read in John chapter 15, the Lord says, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I ordained you. The Lord Jesus chose the apostles. Men and women don't choose them. So, that's one way that they did this. Another way, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, the Apostle Paul wrote, truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs and wonders and in mighty deeds. Like, what would it be today? Parting the Indian River around here. Setting up a lawn chair in the Banana River with your lawn chair, your sunglasses, and your suntan lotion, and you're going to sit out here in the Banana River and take some rays, soak in some rays. These are the signs of an apostle. How about jokingly, an apostle out here could fix all the traffic lights in this county that are all screwed up. Now, that truly would be a miracle, wouldn't it? I'm being facetious. Truly, not being facetious, Paul says, truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you. What did they do? Peter knew someone's sins from looking at them. All he had to say was, listen, here come the feet of the people that buried your husband. Now they're going to haul you out and bury. Truly, these signs of an apostle were done among you. Now, Jesus commends the church here for testing the people that claim they were apostles and they were not. They were liars. Because truly, the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you. But we can't even have this discussion anymore because there are no eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ anymore. So we'll pick it up there next time in our next program. You are listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.